Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in the studio, Ipsy Ed Bondrick.
Hey there.
Hey. What's going on?
Is this thing on?
It is.
Yeah,
okay, and you're wearing green, so it's like Christmas already.
Yes. It's Christmas.
I don't see a lot of decorations.
There's a flag behind you.
In the studio. That's not very Christmassy, but it is very Christiany, and we are a Christian. Never. Don't get me started on that already.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. Well, welcome to The Drift. What we do every Saturday is go over the news that we put on thedailydrift.com. It's
the news you need to know.
Excellent. Excellent. And our sponsor, proud sponsor this half hour, Calvary Baptist Church is having a Christmas candlelight service Sunday, December 23rd. At 5 p.m., and they're located on Old Whitmore Lake Road, 7527 Whitmore Lake Road. You can call them for information, 734-449-2342, right off of just south of 6 Mile or north of North Territorial. And you can also go to cbcwhitmorelake.org if you want to see some other information. But feel free to call them, 734-449-2342. Nice place to do a
Christmas special. Bring your family.
Yeah, and it's 2 days before, you know, so it's not like you're going to be jammed up on Christmas Eve, you know. So
one of the Sunday. 2 days a year you can go to church.
Yes.
You know.
Excellent. So it's maybe I'll stop by.
I was told once, you should do that.
I probably should.
Yes. Text me when you're there. I'll come and join you. Yeah.
With bated breath, you'll be waiting.
Yes. I had somebody in our church once say to me, "Your pastor's always preaching the same message all the time." And my wife says, "Well, maybe if you came on more than Christmas."
There you go, right? Okay, so there's your sponsor, Calvary Baptist Church, Christmas candlelight service, Sunday, December 23rd, 5 p.m. Go there and hang out for a little while. It'll be good for your soul. Okay, so we're going to start out the show with Michigan Senator Patrick Kolbeck is calling in, and we're going to talk about Michigan grassroots. Yeah. So, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Gary and Ed. Great to be with you.
Merry Christmas to you. Good to see you. I wish we could get you in here in person so we could see your smiling face.
Yep.
Well, I'd be a disappointment to my nephew on his birthday, I appreciate the offer.
Excuses. All right. Hey, I have a very important question for Patrick right now. Patrick?
Yeah.
Have you called Marvin?
It took Marvin. Me a minute.
Are you talking about that Martian from the Looney Tunes cartoon?
No, not Marvin the Martian. No.
Unemployment, Patrick, because you're done, right? Are you officially done, or do you got to go to the 31st?
No. Yeah. My office is pretty much almost all cleaned up and cleaned out. And if it wasn't for folks like Planned Parenthood flipping pink slips under my door, I'd be cleaned up even faster.
You know, that's
rude.
Let's just take that for a minute. I saw that on my Facebook, and I thought to myself, really? That is just cold, number one.
Oh, it is.
But childish, number
it's
two.
Childish,
really?
Yes.
You know, you're going to waste somebody's time and what precious money Planned Parenthood must be having right now to slip pay somebody to slip a pink slip that's under your door.
I got
to
appreciate it. It's a good game.
You were term limited out, right?
Yeah. So it's kind of, you just think about that. I posted that up there. I posted a photo of it because I want people to start thinking about the mindset that goes into preparing it. Somebody had to go off and put the creative effort for that. Then they had to go off and find the money to go off and print it out. And then somebody had to go around to all the offices and slip it under the Republican pro-life elected officials. I mean,
wait.
You're
talking like a grassroots organizer. That's where you're missing it. Soros funded it. He paid for the design work, and he paid for it to be delivered.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty pathetic, I thought. And it highlights when you contrast that to what Tom Perez is talking about as the new Democratic national chair. and how he's denigrating Christianity and the messages that Christians are hearing from the pulpit as a fake news source. I mean, it kind of highlights, this is really a Joshua 24:15 moment for people that are still voting with the Democrats. You got to choose which side you're on.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear one side is full of hate. I mean, you saw it with Al Shayed. He explicitly said he hated me. So, and the other side is one that's actually trying to help those who are defenseless. And it's a big difference, and I'm hoping more and more Democrats participate in that walk-away movement.
And one side had to have a vote for God in their platform go five times before they ignored the vote and put him in there anyhow, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, Patrick, tell us what's going on with grassroots.
Well, as you know, we came out of a nice little gubernatorial campaign, and we fell short. And it was a case where we had name recognition around 15%. And despite that, we still got 13% of the vote. So you can't say it wasn't a matter of our message not resonating. We just didn't reach enough people that knew who the heck I was. And so what I found is there's a lot of grassroots candidates that struggle with how to access that 85% that really aren't paying attention until they walk into the voting booth that they're going to vote for. And we had some great candidates in Wayne County, for example, like Pastor Deshaun Wilkins. We had Michael Frazier. We had Darian Moore. We had up in Sterling Heights and Warren. We had Jasmine Early. There's some really good candidates that worked very hard on their campaign, but they didn't get the traction they needed because they couldn't reach people without money. So I said, how are we going to find a way to get these really good candidates who don't have deep pockets access to financial support? And I started noodling on that and came up with something called the Grassroots Alliance. And the strength of the grassroots, as you guys know, is our numbers. We don't have a lot of deep pockets. There are some people with deep pockets, but in general, these are not the folks who are able to write a $10,000 check to a campaign. These are people that could afford, however, maybe $10 a month to go off and support a cause. And so if you have 10,000 people contributing $10 a month, that's about $2.4 million per campaign cycle that can be contributed towards these grassroots candidates like Deshaun Wilkins. And so I started getting to thinking about how could we actually go off and make that happen. And I came up with the idea that, well, first of all, we need to make an organization that makes it easy for people to form independent PACs, independent political action committees. A single independent PAC is limited in how much they can actually contribute to any given candidate. So, for example, a state rep race, they're limited to 10,000, state senator, 20,000, and a statewide candidate like governor or whatever, 68,000. That's not enough to go off and make a significant dent in those campaigns. But if you multiply that one PAC times 10, and you have 10 PACs that are able to write $10,000 checks or $20,000 checks or $68,000 checks, now all of a sudden that grassroots candidate is instantly viable.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's what the Grassroots Alliance is all about.
Yeah, so this is literally like a PAC or political action committee for the small, for the common man, right?
Absolutely.
This is like
entry level.
Yep. Yeah. So like Ed and I could just go start a PAC, help raise some money, and then we can actually pick one candidate or multiple candidates and spend that money. And if there's 100 of us doing that, that's a great idea, Patrick.
And the best, well, thanks. Well,
rocket scientist.
Democrats had it first.
Oh.
I didn't realize this at the time when I was looking into it, but they've been doing this for well over a decade. Now, unions, they get monthly donations that go to political action campaigns,
yeah.
Right?
That's what you call that, donations?
Yeah. That's what a lot of people are, that's why a lot of people are frustrated. But they're much more organized on it. They've had an organization called Alliance for Justice for years. And this Alliance for Justice is kind of the bad guy's equivalent of what I'm proposing for the Michigan Grassroots Alliance. And furthermore, they had an organization called Broader Advocacy, which their sole purpose was to make it easy for these members of this Alliance for Justice to set up their political action committees. Well, that's what we're going to replicate. I've got an organization called the Rocket Fuel Fund that is designed to go off and provide tools, provide assistance to people setting up PACs so we make it easy for people that are kind of intimidated by all the campaign finance regulation, the legal aspects, and all the overhead that goes into creating and managing an independent PAC, we're going to provide guidance to make that as easy as possible for those folks so they can just concentrate on raising money and finding good candidates to give the money to.
Okay, so what would be step one? Go to your website. What's the website for the grassroots organization?
Yeah, step one, go to MichiganGrassrootsAlliance.org, and you'll get a little bit more information around what we're actually trying to do there. There's an email address that if you're interested in helping out, it's just team@migrassrootsalliance.org. We are walking before we run. We've got enough money right now just to handle some basic infrastructure items like a list of people to contact that would support the grassroots. And then we're going to set up an email server so you can send it out to more than 200 people a day and that people can get access to. And we've got that basic infrastructure right now covered. But you can also help us by sending us contact information that you may have so we can broaden the number of people that we can reach out to. Otherwise, we got a purchase list, and that takes away money that could be given to candidates.
Right.
I'm using this, if you kind of think of this as a hub and spoke model, the hub is this rocket fuel fund, and the spokes are all the independent PACs that are going to be, their lives are going to be made easier by this rocket fuel fund. Right now, we're in the stage where we are trying to build up this rocket fuel fund, and I'm a little bit, I don't have too much time to put towards that right now because we're in the middle of lame duck, which is another total other topic right now. But as soon as that's over with, I'm going to spin that up and get to the next level so we make it easier for folks to plug in.
Okay, so people can go to the website. They can either get on board for donating, or maybe even more important, they can give contact information for their friends and contacts, be that email, I'm assuming?
Yeah, emails work best, but okay. Phone numbers would be good as well. The other thing is if you're interested and you're passionate about giving independent PAC, you know, you want to set up maybe like a Choose Life PAC or a Second Amendment PAC or a Religious Liberty PAC, let me know that as well. Send it to that email address, team@MichiganGrassrootsAlliance.org, migrassrootsalliance.org. And so right now I've got about five PACs that people are interested in setting up, but obviously if we get to 10 and 20, we've got critical mass to make a huge impact. And by the way, if these PACs are aligned with elements of the Republican platform, that's powerful in quite a few different ways. Right now, we complain that a lot of our elected officials, we're just not following the platform, right?
Yeah.
There's the big divide in the Republican Party today is you have platform Republicans and you have fraternity Republicans. The fraternity Republicans gave us our last election, and the results in November were pathetic. We need to get back to that basic platform, and if you set up a PAC aligned with each element of the Republican platform, you may not get a candidate that strikes 100% across the board on the platform, but you will get some candidates that maybe you can agree that could get funding from maybe 8 out of 10 of these PACs.
Yeah.
And then when you write a check, I mean, as an elected official, when somebody writes you a big check, it's human nature to actually remember that you want to make sure that you keep that person happy, right?
Yeah.
And if we do this right, we're going to get these guys, our elected officials, starting to respect the Republican platform, and that's going to be only goodness for Michigan if we get more and more elected officials who not just talk about it on their campaign list, but actually do it when they're in office.
Right. Okay, and then Facebook is always a good place to catch you, too, because I think I scrolled past. So what's your Facebook page?
It's just Michigan Grassroots Alliance, and it's MI. Whenever I say Michigan, it's MI Grassroots Alliance, and there's a Facebook page up there for that right now. So between rocketfuelfund.org or migrassrootsalliance.org, they all point to the same page, and the Facebook page, you'll be able to plug in with us.
Okay.
We are just getting the ball rolling on this, so I just want to highlight, manage expectations a little bit. We're going to be walking before we're running,
You're going to add the Facebook link and the email address to rocketfuelfund.org. Contact us.
Yeah, we'll get that all up there. Actually, I think it's already plugged in for the link to the contact. Facebook pages. So,
well, yeah, excellent.
That's what I get to do in my spare time. I've actually created websites, too, so you got a geek as a state senator here.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I'm glad you're staying involved, Patrick. I was worried that you were just going to take a retirement, a vacation, whatever, and we wouldn't hear from you. So I'm glad you're going to stay involved. So
definitely. My goal is to make sure we enable other grassroots candidates and provide them with the tools that I didn't have.
Yeah. Well, make sure you get in here and come spend some FaceTime with us one of these Saturdays, would you?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Well, thank you guys for everything you do and getting the word out. God bless you. And you guys have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, Patrick. Take care. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. So there we go. Michigan grassroots. We need to get our act together for the next election since we screwed up this election. Not we, but all of us, I guess, together.
Yes.
We were not collectively tough enough on our own Michigan GOP. This is what I don't get me started, right?
Well, I'm thinking steroidal Tea Party here. You know, everybody asks, what happened to the Tea Party? This may be Tea Party version 2.0.
People need to get that excitement back. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. And for 2020, I mean, it's already there, right? The time is now. The time is ripe to get back into the swing of it. I've got my big 4x8 Trump sign sitting in my garage. I'm going to yank them out as soon as I'm allowed to and get them out and about, right? So we can't take it for granted, folks. You have to get out. So before we jump into the national scene here with Trump and Flynn and all and Mueller and all that, I wanted to start with the Parkland Commission from the Parkland shooting last year, because the Democrats and the liberals and that little whatever his name was kid, what was his name? David Hogg.
Yeah.
let's start with what President Donald Trump said afterward, because he got a lot of grief for this. Derek, you got track one ready? All right, let's play this and listen to what Donald Trump said after the Parkland shooting.
It only works where you have people very adept at using firearms, of which you have many. And it would be teachers and coaches. If the coach had a firearm in his locker when he ran at this guy, that coach was very brave, saved a lot of lives, I suspect. But if he had a firearm, he wouldn't have had a run. He would have shot, and that would have been the end of it. And this would only be, obviously, for people that are very adept at handling a gun. And it would be, it's called concealed carry, where a teacher would have a concealed gun on them. They'd go for special training, and they would be there, and you would no longer have a gun-free zone. Gun-free zone to a maniac, because they're all cowards. A gun-free zone is let's go in and let's attack.
Okay.
A killing field.
It's a killing field. Gun-free zones, right? And the media went berserk. Well, you can't arm the teachers. And I know some teachers, right? And someone, oh, we're not having guns in our class. You may not. You may not be comfortable for it. You and I both know. If you've ever taken a friend to a gun range and let them shoot for the first time.
The wow factor.
Normally they're sold, right?
Yeah.
9 out of 10
Where
times.
Where can I buy one of these?
They're going out and they're buying a gun. They're hooked. And because there is some fun. I mean, we used to teach kids in high school how to shoot back in the 50s anyways. And so the Parkland Commission was set up after the Parkland shooting to find out how can we investigate what went wrong. And they found a lot of things. The sheriff's department was wrong. The school system had to deal with the sheriff's department.
Sheriff was not a coward. The deputy was a coward.
The deputy that was there was a coward, didn't go in. Everything, Sheriff Israel, I think, was the moron and sheriff in charge back then. The school system was not alerting the sheriff's department. They had some little deal about keeping students who were doing things wrong silent, right? Well, listen what happened when the Parkland Commission came back with their latest and greatest suggestions. Derek, you got track two ready? Play that.
According to a panel reviewing the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, armed teachers, stronger security, and better law enforcement are needed to prevent shootings like the one in Parkland. The report, which isn't final, found that deputies didn't rush to the school to stop the carnage, and school staff committed numerous security breaches. The panel also voted to include a controversial proposal allowing classroom teachers to carry guns. Such a change would require the state legislature's approval.
Right now, janitors and principals and non-teachers can carry in Florida schools. Why only them? Now you say, okay, now that this law change is promoting teachers carrying, okay, why not parents? Why would I have to go in unarmed to a school where the same danger is presented to me as to teachers, principals, janitorial staff, even cops standing there.
Yeah.
You know, it's the whole problem is that we create these killing zones, a gun-free zone. We're nibbling at it when we say, okay, now let the teachers carry. Mm-hmm. We're nibbling at it.
Yeah, because seconds count, and police are always minutes away at best, minutes away. So
I always say call a cop, order a pizza.
Certainly keep your doors locked. Certainly put in your – certainly make sure that when you get – and in that case of the shooter in Parkland, I can't remember his name. And I wouldn't if – yes, exactly. There was enough information there that that kid should have been – given treatment.
They were covering him up.
They were covering him up.
And that was part of Obama-era policy for schools. That was promoted by the Obama administration.
Yeah, being politically correct will get people killed. And it's time to have enough of that. So teachers – and it's not saying all teachers have to do that. But if a teacher is comfortable with guns, wants to be one of those and volunteers to say, I'll take the training – I'll be one of the security people in the school. I'll carry a gun. That'd be great. The principals, the janitors, whoever. You know, there's nothing better than an armed woman. I'd prefer to see armed women.
My wife.
You know what I mean? Yes, absolutely. And so I would encourage all women, if you have never shot a gun, find somebody. And I think, is it Firing Line does the women's night? It's Firing Line, I think, does a women's night. Ladies, get together. Set it up, make the call, go in. They'll teach you a class. You'll get a woman instructor, too, I think. I encourage all women. What a great Christmas gift to give your wife, your girlfriend, your significant other. Buy her a pass to Firing Line, a gift card. Say, go take the class. Or just buy the class for her.
Guys, you know? Listen. Send your wife with somebody else. Do not try and instruct your wife. Okay,
that'll lead to a fight. You'll both be angry.
We went to the firing line, and one of the range officers was there. And it's not that my wife won't listen to me; it's just that I'm impatient. And this guy was marvelous. It just took me out of the picture, saved our marriage.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, let's take a call from Tom. Wants to talk about arming teachers. Tom, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I kind of subscribe to the KISS. You know, keep it simple, stupid. Philosophy where, you know, in Michigan, all we'd have to do would be to allow concealed carry in schools, you know.
Perfect.
Vis-a-vis, you know, the criminal isn't going to get the license, pistol license anyways. And, you know, I mean, people need, you know, I mean, people who go in there with a firearm, I mean, it's common sense. You don't, you know, you don't do anything bad. You don't shoot at your target unless you know you can hit it. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, home of the brave, land of the free. You know, I mean, these guys like these, camera hog, did I say David Hogg?
pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean,
swine.
They strike me as cowards, just plain yellow journalism cowards. And I don't know, there's nothing else I can say about it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call, Tom, as always. Good call. Have a good one. Have a merry, merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you.
Take care. Yeah, for me, this was a bright spot to see this. You didn't see a lot of it on the news because, of course, the liberals are like, ugh, we're not covering that story.
We didn't pay them enough.
We didn't have enough people in there promoting the anti-gun agenda. That's the whole point. So it's good to
hear.
But
it's Florida. Florida gave this country concealed carry, you know, that shell issue. Florida gave us shell
issue. Were they the first state?
Pretty much. They were the ones that were the test bed. And everybody said, oh, it's going to be the you know, tombstone, and it wasn't. And I remember going into a diner with my wife once, and we're reading the newspaper in Jacksonville, Florida. And is that music?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. And I'm reading this article about this other diner, and a guy walked in with a gun during the senior breakfast. During the senior breakfast where everybody had a discount, right? And he's all agitated, and he's threatening the girl at the cash register. And then he turns around, and he's got six senior citizens pointing their guns at him.
Nice.
I said, yep, I'm getting myself a gun.
That's awesome. All right, until the next half hour. I almost went for the end of the show. We're done already.
Merry Christmas.
We'll see you on the other side of the break.
it's that time of year again. Christmas songs, trees lit up, and festive gatherings with friends and family. Hi, Dan Martin, host of London Calling on Wham, wishing you the best this holiday season. Some of my favorite Christmas traditions are Grandma's apple pie, handed down to my aunt and cousin, spending time with my dad and my wife's parents, but especially spending time with my wife and my two sons, Joe and Ben. They're the best. Merry Christmas.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is headed for the exits. President Trump tweeting that announcement this morning.
President Trump says the administration is going to announce the new Secretary of the Interior sometime next week. The president did not say whether Zinke resigned or was fired, only that he, quote, will be leaving the administration at the end of the year after having served for a period of almost 2 years.
Fox's Allison Barber. President Trump threatening a government shutdown if Democrats do not come up with the money for a border wall. Democrats say if there is a shutdown, don't blame them.
Due to their obstruction and failure to govern, Republicans are driving our nation to the brink of another disastrous government shutdown at a time of great economic uncertainty and right in the middle of the holiday season.
California Congresswoman Lucille Roybal Allard with the weekly address. This is Fox News.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy. December 1st, 2017, we got a well connect installed in our home. We heated our house for the entire winter using only our well water. Now we use our propane just for hot water and the kitchen stove. And at the end of May, we switched over to the air conditioning mode and we had 68 degrees dehumidified air from May through September for less than $100 for the entire summer. Rich Foley from WellConnect up in Alpena will be in the Wham listening area next Thursday and Friday to visit folks to do a free house inspection to see if a WellConnect can help you save money too, just like us. So give Rich a call at 989-356-2113 to get a no-obligation visit for Rich to come to your house. Again, call 989-356-2113 to have Rich take a look at your house and help you save money too. You'll be glad you did.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning to Catch Our Drift in studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Hey, nice to be welcomed back.
Yes, as always. Let's take care of a little business. Regal Auto Parts. If you're looking to add some parts or fix something on your car, you don't have to go buy new. You can get used from Regal Auto Parts. And you can reach them at 734-663-0976. That's 734-663-0976. Conveniently located in Whitmore Lake, 6270 Whitmore Lake Road. Used parts may be your best alternative. Your car's already used. Why put something new on
exactly.
it, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So 734-663-0976, Regal Auto Parts. Check them out. Okay, so before we move on, we're getting a Don Haig from the firing line on line one. Don, were your ears burning?
An informed opinion.
Yeah, I was listening. Well, I was putting Christmas lights up. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
I had the radio going, listening to what you were talking about. We do have a ladies' night, and it's designed for first-time shooters, actually. And we do it once a month, and it's about a two-hour class. We have an hour safety lesson and an hour on the range. We have three lady instructors that are in charge of that. So it's a great starting point. I appreciate you. In that force.
Yeah, well, that, you know, Don, for me, I would like to see every woman in the country know how to shoot a gun, preferably own a gun, and be safe out there, because you know what? It's the great equalizer for a reason, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
It is. And the way I look at it, too, it gives you the knowledge if you find a firearm and you want to make it safe, you can now make it safe because you're familiar how to do that. And they think if they see a firearm sitting out, that it's like a bomb, it's going to go off.
Right.
It's not, you know, but with proper training, they can make that firearm safe and then go to the next step, whatever that would be, call the police, hey, I found this or whatever. But weapons are, firearms are out there, and there's usually 40 million people, 80 million people in the United States that own firearms. So,
right. So, what, Don, what's your phone number that that if somebody wants to get their wife, girlfriend, or somebody a gift or maybe pay for their class, or I would encourage girls to do it as a group, right?
But this, mm-hmm. Girls' night out.
Yeah. Girls' night out, you know. What's the phone number they can reach you at?
734-326-7320. And the thing is, it's only $14. It's really reasonable. We make it reasonable for that reason. We want to encourage the ladies to come.
Sounds like a loss leader.
Okay. And so let me ask you, Don, do you guys have gift certificates? Can someone just go in and buy gift certificates and the girls can use that as part of their...
Absolutely. They can buy a gift certificate over the phone, and during the week we'll email them a gift. And then come in and buy a hard gift card, too. It ain't a donation at all. So
okay. Wow, that's great.
$5 to whatever. You know,
yeah.
We got, this time of year, we get a lot of that. So I appreciate it.
All right. Well, take care, Don. I appreciate the call. Thanks.
I've bought virtually...
Bye. Have a good one.
Virtually every new gun I've bought. Every new gun I've bought from Fireline, including this car you were just looking at.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Yeah, cars are
great. They give me a lot of help over the counter. Bought my AR-15 there just last year.
Okay, so let's move on and talk about government shutdown, which is anytime someone talks about government shutdown, I get excited for all the right reasons. Go ahead, shut it down. What does the government do for you? Do you get any benefits from the government?
Well, protection of the borders. Yes.
Do you?
Well, you know, I keep
the military,
Russians from
right?
colluding our
military,
colluding with our, government.
The Federal Aviation Authority, blah, blah, blah. We pay separately for our roads through road taxes, mm-hmm. so don't ask me that the government's actually doing that for me. If the federal government shuts down, number one, folks, only 25% non-essential services will shut down. 75% of the government will remain open. 75%. So why is everybody worried about a shutdown?
Now, this reminds me of the Dilbert cartoon that I saw, where the pointy-haired boss goes up on the second floor of the building, and he says, over the PA, right, he says, all non-essential employees may leave early due to the impending snowstorm, and then he takes the names of everybody who walks out the building, who deems themselves unnecessary. So, you know, if we can shut down 25% of the government and not notice it, why do they need to come back?
Exactly.
It's a jobs program.
Yeah, because you know what? It just goes to the point that Trump talked about earlier this year. I want next year a 5% cut in every department across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Do that for 5 years, and then you won't have 25%
yep.
unnecessary people in the federal workforce, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't want people to
values in Virginia and Maryland would plummet.
Yeah, well, and then you know what? All of a sudden, our congressmen, including occasional Cortex, will be able to afford to live there, won't you?
Yes, yes.
So don't let this government shutdown scare you, folks. When Donald Trump, and you said it on the break, he actually said, I'll take responsibility. The president said, mm-hmm. instead of playing that game, I think it was the most brilliant thing ever. to have them on live TV. They were caught off guard.
Oh, Chuck couldn't look him in the eye.
Oh, he couldn't look at the camera in the eye. He had his head hanging down like he'd been beaten with a baseball bat. I'm sorry, Mr. Schumer. You don't like talking in public about why you want to let the government shut down because you won't provide a border wall which protects our citizens, which keeps drugs out, which keeps illegal aliens and terrorists out? Really? And Go ahead.
Nancy was almost incomprehensible with what she was saying. It's just like didn't even match up to the conversation.
Two cockroaches scurrying for the dark on this because they didn't want to be caught on live TV saying we don't support the border and we don't support protecting Americans because that's what Democrats do. They want to do it behind the scenes. I think they should have live TV on every negotiation they do from now on.
That's transparency.
That is transparency. And the president should nail it. I had to go back and watch it a couple times. I was like,
what's the leadership?
Beautiful.
I'll own that. That's leadership, man. That ain't just hiding under a rock or saying, oh, so-and-so did it, or the previous administration did it, or my hands are tied.
I could not have been prouder than when he said that. Mm-hmm. I'll own it. I'll take that, Chuck. And Chuck was like, yeah. You know what? You just lost, Chuck, because you're the one that wants to really be shutting down the government. It's going to be a Schumer shutdown. It ain't going to be the Trump shutdown. You're the ones that, as they said, you heard it on the news for the last 2 days. Back in February, they voted for $25 billion. Yeah, they were fine with it. Now you won't do five, which I don't remember the whole story there, but now you won't do five?
Well, then, of course, there's the video of Schumer 5 years ago, ten years ago, all about anti-illegal immigration. We need to stop them at the border. Obama, too, for that matter, and Hillary. All these Dems used to be pro-border security.
Yep.
And now, no.
And of course,
they were opposed to homosexual marriage, too, at that time, too.
Well, there's video of every one of those dirty buggers out there saying they support the wall and that illegal immigration must stop. And all of a sudden now, because Donald Trump is for it, they're against it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that pathetic? You just don't like him, so you want to completely change your narrative on protecting American citizens? Really? Yeah. Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
Unfortunately, not every American saw that broadcast. We needed everybody to see that. Like you were saying, them scurrying from the cameras, begging and pleading to do it in private so they could say things that they don't want the American public to understand.
Well, that's why I put it on Facebook, because all my liberal friends, and I have a few, get to see that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and Trump needs to tweet it, and everybody needs to retweet it. The exact facts that Chuck E. Schumer and them shut down the government before in order to protect illegal aliens, and we don't want to shut down the government, but we're more than happy to do it to actually protect Americans. Which side are you on? Do you support U.S. citizens or illegal aliens?
Yeah, I would like to see live broadcasts from now on every one of those negotiations. Come on in. Let's have a little talk. Let's sit down and talk about it. The cameras are on. Yes, of course the cameras are on. We want to see what your position is. Let the American people see what your position is, who you're protecting, and why you don't want to protect the American people. It's brilliant. I was very, very happy to see that.
Of course, he did catch. It wasn't on the agenda. He did catch them by surprise. But that's just like, too bad.
Should have read the art of the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I what else you got, Joe?
What did you want to talk about, Joe?
That just is what, you know, makes my blood boil. It's and like most of the CR bills are available, ready, and passed, so it wouldn't even be a partial shutdown. It's a partial part of a partial shutdown to begin with. Most of the government would be funded. There's very little that they haven't already reached agreement on and have in legislation that's going to pass and go to his desk.
Yes, exactly. So people need to, A, not worry about it. Don't listen to the MSM when they say, oh, we're going into a shutdown because of Donald Trump. Well, he's going into the...
The best thing that could happen for this country would be to have a shutdown that lasted 90 days, 120 days, 6 months, because the longer it goes and the more people see the world isn't coming to an end, the more the lies of the Democrats get exposed.
Yep, exactly right. And that'll put pressure on them to come to the table. So I'm all for the shutdown. I fully support our president when he said he's going to let it shut down unless they give him the $5 billion for the wall, which isn't even enough. It's a start, right. But it's not certainly not enough. But
this
absolutely,
time,
he should be demanding the full amount.
Yeah. This time, Trump gets to decide which things are non-essential as opposed to veterans mm-hmm. going to Memorial Park. So I wonder what liberal conclaves he can shut down with, you know, federal money.
Sanctuary cities, I think, are non-essential.
Yeah, let's shut them down.
Yeah.
Shut them down.
Yeah, so...
All right, take care, my friends. All right.
Have a good one, Joe. See Merry Joe. Christmas. Okay, so... I'm ecstatic about it. Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Shutdown? Because we've got a ton. Kind of Obamacare last night.
That was interesting.
Found unconstitutional by a federal judge in Texas. Now, a lot of people say, wait, it already went to SCOTUS. How can it be? Because it's no longer a tax.
Right? Yep.
Because the Trump administration took away the mandate. Now it is no longer a tax, which changes the whole picture for mm-hmm. Obamacare.
Yeah.
So now it will go back to SCOTUS. What will Roberts do this time?
I don't know.
It's not a tax anymore, yeah. Mr. Roberts.
He surprised me the last time, so I don't know what he'll do this time.
This will be incredibly interesting. It'll be interesting to see how quickly it runs.
What I will say is sad is that it was Kavanaugh who gave Roberts the clue on the tax thing. It was actually Kavanaugh at a lower court level that clued in Roberts to rule in the way that he did. It wasn't just a surprise decision by Roberts. So it kind of bothers me. And people talk about Kavanaugh like, oh, no, he's the wrong guy because of the Planned Parenthood decision. But as upset as I am that Planned Parenthood couldn't be shut down by these states who wanted to or the funding to it, you can see that it's the law. If they provide any kind of health services besides abortion, then they're entitled to some of that money. Otherwise, it's a form of discrimination.
Right. And it brings it up, right? Because there were some people I saw on Facebook who were and on Twitter who were kind of bashing Kavanaugh. And mm-hmm. I thought to myself, wait a minute. I'm trying to read. I wish I had more time and had more of a legalese background. Didn't he make that decision based on the law? Right.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
So it's not like he's pro abortion by any stretch of the imagination. He was simply following the law, which is what their job is.
Right. You're supposed to set your personal feelings apart and interpret the Constitution and follow the law.
Because you know you're going to have another case come up
mm-hmm.
that'll probably be more pro-abortion or pro-life issue related. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you will truly see what it is. But it all comes down to the Supreme Court. And correct me if I'm wrong, nowhere in the Constitution does it say you have a right for an abortion.
Well, you have a right to privacy. It says the right in the what was that amendment? It's an article. You have a right to privacy. I'll get back to you. I'll find it, I'm sure.
Okay. So the point being, if another abortion case like that comes to the Supreme Court, isn't the Supreme Court supposed to say it's a state issue?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's no constitutional right to an abortion, it's not something that should come to the federal, which means Roe v. Wade should never have really happened, right?
Well, even Ruth Bader Ginsburg had said that Roe versus Wade was a poor ruling. And she was upset because it talked about the right to privacy, which everybody knows doesn't exist. It was a fabrication. I just remembered that. I won't go looking for that article or amendment. It was a fabrication. And Ginsburg had hoped for a different ruling that talked about abortion in particular, and she didn't get that. And that's why she was upset, because she didn't see the protection for abortion in the Roe v. Wade decision.
Yeah.
So she sees the weakness of Roe v. Wade, and it's there.
Okay. Let's try and get into a little bit of Cohen, right? That
sleazeball?
Sleazeball. Someone
the art of the deal. He read The Art of the Deal.
He looks like an older Ben Affleck who's got some bad disease. And I thought to myself, he does look like a sick old Ben Affleck, you know? Just a no good, rotten. I just looked at him and went, you know.
The guy is virtually an admitted liar, and everybody's believing what he says now. Oh, but do you remember Tommy Flanagan on Saturday Night Live, the president of the liars? Liars Society, or Liars Organization.
Yeah,
that's a ticket. That's Cohen. Yeah, that's the ticket.
And trying to his George Stephanopoulos just makes me ill every time I see him because I can never get over him when he works.
That's why
for
I don't
Bill
watch
Clinton,
him.
Right. I just saw some snips. Okay. I had to force myself to go in and see it. But it's just between the two of them, they both looked gray and sickly and just ugh. And I just it's like the sleazeball channel watching those two go at it. You know.
Well, that lifestyle will do it to you. Being a liberal.
the evilness is
like they're the pictures of Dorian Gray, only you know. Yes. That's them.
Let's take a quick call from Gary in Hazel Park, who wants to kind of backtrack on the border. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen. Hey, I'm delighted that the president is holding his ground on that border. That's been one of the best things that's happened in 30 years in my book, and I'm thinking the Border Patrol ought to change their mascot. It ought to be this guy Gandalf. None shall pass.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, well, there you go. What else you got, Gary? We're going to try and push on from the border stuff.
Oh, just one other thing. Patrick Kolpeck, we had our first meeting earlier this month, and 200 people showed up. So that's a really good sign.
Really?
That we've got the grassroots started up, and everybody just keep pushing forward because we're going to win. If we're going to win, we got to do it. So let's make it happen.
Right. Good. Well, I'm glad that makes me feel better that he already has 200 people showing up at a meeting. That's awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Gary. Have a great one.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Back at you, folks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Flynn?
Let's talk about Flynn.
Yeah.
He's going in front of sentencing on Tuesday, General Flynn.
I'm just wondering if that judge isn't going to throw the case out.
My thoughts exactly.
You know, right. I say, I don't know if a judge can do that, to tell you the truth. I don't know if he can...
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. That's Sullivan, Judge. Yeah. Is it Emmett Sullivan?
Emmett Sullivan, yes.
Emmett Sullivan.
And, isn't he the guy that tore into Mueller earlier in the year?
Yep. He has been really tough on the Mueller team in court. And what he asked for this week for sentencing was for Mueller to give him all kinds of information by Friday. I don't know if he met the deadline. 302s.
He did not give the right one from what I'm given to understand. The one of these findings was not from the original having Flynn in, but it was from 7 months later from Comey.
Right.
Talking about it, you know, as history. And so it wasn't even current to what was going on. You know, I had an interesting thought this morning, and I'm glad we have an opportunity to talk about it because it's not often I have an interesting thought. And that is that they talk about Flynn should have not expected to have been warned that lying to the FBI is a crime. Okay? So I'm thinking Miranda rights, right? Every time you see somebody... Well, arrested, obviously, or even interviewed by the police. It's you have the right to remain silent. What you can may be used against you. I don't think he had that.
Well,
he should have had some kind of warning that this is not just – we're not just talking sports here. We're talking about your life, buddy.
I thought I had heard, and I don't have the transcript, so I can't tell you that. But I thought I had heard, and I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on because there's plenty of those conspiracies out there. That Flynn knew already that they had the transcript.
Because he said something to the effect of, but you already know that.
You already know
they
that.
They listened to the phone. And the other thing that bothers me about this is back and forth, listening to pundits. Like I was listening to Tucker Carlson. Well, I listened to him all the time. And he kept getting lost on this. He kept saying, well, he's an admitted liar. He's only an admitted liar in the sense that he had pled guilty to lying. Now, if you want to call that admission to lying, well, when they're threatening to throw you in jail for 10 years and take what's left of your assets away, which they already did, and go after your family, okay, that's admitting to lying.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that the FBI agents, Strzok, Comey, all these other, in their original 302s, said, oh, no, we don't believe he was lying.
That's right.
He didn't believe he was lying.
That is
so,
exactly right.
Yeah, okay, he pled to lying. That's not the same as admitting you lied. Right.
So when Judge Sullivan on Tuesday is going to give, obviously, General Flynn an opportunity to speak, my assumption is you admitted to doing this. Was there any ulterior motive for you? Did you feel forced to do it? At which point, this is where it's going to get interesting. If Flynn says, I was out of money, I couldn't fight the battle anymore, They said they would investigate my son. They said they would do
this. Put it all out on the
table. I have no choice but to do this. At what point does the judge say, that sounds like a collusion of the federal government, a conspiracy of the mm-hmm. federal government to try and find something on you and force you into an admission and pleading in this case? You can't force somebody like that to plead. And let's be honest, Strzok was one of those two guys that interviewed him.
Yeah. Exactly. And he's said the one he didn't lie. Yeah.
He said he didn't lie. So all of a sudden, you go through all these back channels, all these months of investigation, make Flynn spend every dime he's got, make him sell his house to pay for the attorneys.
Plus, they targeted him.
Are they? Oh, absolutely.
And like Comey laughing about, yeah, we just waltzed in there. Nobody stopped us from talking to him. Any other administration would have.
And so back to my tinfoil. Did Flynn know this would end? Did Flynn know that when it all played out, that it would come down to the sentencing and what is about to happen and be said in front of Sullivan?
I don't know. He had no point. He had no choice. I mean, I probably would have done the same thing he did. You can fight the good fight, but if you don't have CLJ coming on and paying for your legal defense, you know, it's bankrupt them already. It's how far can you go?
Yeah. How do we treat a three-star general, a patriot, a guy like General Flynn who's done everything? It's his job to talk to Kislyak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's his job, yeah. Folks. That's what an incoming administration does.
Yeah, they said he violated the Logan Act, and then they didn't even pursue that. Then it was, oh, he lied. Yeah. And, of course, he did lie to Vice President Pence, which is why he, you know, got the boot. And I don't think Trump will take him in and give him a position. Well, I don't know if he could, convicted felon.
Right.
But you know, the thing is, yeah, he's convicted. Now we're in the sentencing. If he got unconvicted, if somehow or other Judge Emmett could unconvict him and set aside the felony, that would be, or if Trump pardoned him, then, you know, if he pardoned him, then it's all white. It's clean. Have you seen Les Mis, the play or the movie?
No.
Okay, then you're not familiar with the Inspector Javert character. This guy is, the whole thing is about this character, this Inspector Javert hounding the protagonist of the play and the movie the whole time, just hounding him and hounding him and hounding him. And so Javert really is like a type of Mueller. Mm-hmm. And it's a cultural touchstone or reference point.
Okay, so I want to talk karma before the end of the show.
Okay.
Weekly Standard, Bill Kristol. Going out of business.
What do you know?
That used to be a decent magazine. Oh, I used to read those articles.
Yeah.
And once Bill Kristol and the rest of those never-Trumpers kind of yanked insane. That all, I was done
with the Weekly Standard. I used to listen to Kristol all the time on the Bill Bennett show, you know, and I'd listen to what he said, and then you're like, what happened to you? Why are you so opposed?
He's part of the elite, dude. The only thing that comes to mind, he's guilty of something. He's into that entitled globalist, elitist, douchebag club that they're all in up there. It's amazing to watch Bill Kristol because, like you, 5 years ago, I thought Bill Kristol was a real conservative,
a leader,
and he turned out to be just a complete douchebag.
Do you have to use that word?
I always and I shouldn't because that's a useful instrument, really, right?
Yes.
And he's not a useful instrument.
There you go.
Any stretch of the imagination.
So. There, Sherry, I got it in.
All right. Until next week, go to Kern Online and check out our advertisers.
Yes. And advertise
then,
with us.
Yeah, and then go to thedailydrift.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.